this morning we return to our sermon series, Life Together. And we've been looking at relationships through the lens of Scripture. So far, we've considered that we are made for love, that we are called to love each other like mothers and fathers, especially the leaderships receive this call. We've looked at how conflict is an opportunity for grace, and how we are forgiven in order to forgive. And today we're looking at the subject of friendship. Now, before I get started, I want to be clear that I'm not saying everything there is to say about friendship. As a matter of fact, every point that I make, you could probably do a whole sermon on. What I'm asking you to consider is where and how friendship fits in the upside-down kingdom of God. And I'm asking you to consider perhaps expanding your view of what friendship can be. I'm also aware that as I preach, I may be stirring up deep longings in some of you, longings that so far have gone unmet. And perhaps you've been crying out to God about this. And I want to say that I am sorry for your pain and for the longings you carry. And I pray as you wait for people to step into those gaps, you will experience Jesus in those places that maybe nobody knows about. I'm preaching somewhat from the point of view and my experiences as a single woman. I need to acknowledge that. I also want to acknowledge that my experiences are not everyone else's experiences. And while I am single, I believe that what I say applies to everyone, whether single or married, young or old, retired, widowed, with small children or empty nesters. We all need friends. And I believe that friendship is an important foundation of Christian community. So I need to acknowledge my indebtedness to Wesley Hill, who wrote the book Spiritual Friendship, and I read the book several years ago, and it has profoundly impacted how I've begun to look at friendship. And so I highly recommend that book to you. And I'm also influenced by the preaching of Pastor Mary Hulst, who's the chaplain of Calvin University, formerly college, actually becomes a university tomorrow. Pretty exciting if you graduated from there. And so with all this in mind, I invite Russ Jones to come forward and read the scripture passage from John 15, 9 through 17. So John is the fourth book in the New Testament.
Today's text is selected from a set of powerful truths and encouraging statements spoken by Jesus to his disciples just before he was betrayed, then crucified. Jesus spoke these words: "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
So in January of this year, Time Magazine published a special mental health issue, and one of the articles was called The Loneliness Epidemic. In a world filled with technological ways to be connected 24/7, it is ironic that researchers in different countries are noticing that a high percentage of people describe themselves as being lonely. So here are some statistics. In the US, research done showed that out of 20,000 Americans, nearly half always or sometimes feel lonely. One in four rarely or never feel they have close friends or family members who truly understand them. In the United Kingdom, former Prime Minister Theresa May in 2018 established the Minister of Loneliness, so a whole parliamentary office. Finally, in Asia, the rates of loneliness have grown from 16% to 30% of adults between 1992 and 2008. Meeting this need is not just about putting people together in groups. It's about the quality of the connection between them. Is there someone you could call in the middle of the night if you are scared or sick? Besides just your spouse, if you're married. Who knows if you arrive home from a trip? Who could you call to share the events of the day with? And who do you trust to invite into something you are struggling with so that you don't feel all alone? Wesley Hill contends that we can turn to the church looking for a robust vision of committed friendship, only to encounter a looser, more casual form of social life that seems to say, we can be friends so long as it doesn't require too many sacrifices. And friendship like this becomes precarious and uncertain. It is not a firm foundation that we can build a life on. Rather, it's like shifting sand that can crumble at any moment. And the question I've been pondering is this: what does Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension mean for our relationships, especially the relationship of friendship? Does the Bible even talk about friendship? And if it does, what kind of friendship does it present? So in your bulletins is a blue insert, and on one side, I've listed the friendships that you find in the Bible and the verses that talk about their stories. And you also find the one another passages that we read that talk about how we live together. And there's a few proverbs that also talk about friendship. But I'm going to focus on John 15. And I'm going to look at verse 13 first, which says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, growing up and even as an adult, I always thought that meant that to show love for my friends, I had to die. And perhaps it does mean that in a certain way, in that sometimes being a good friend requires sacrifice. Sacrifices of time, convenience, plans, and so much more. However, I'm thinking more that Jesus is referring to his own death on the cross for our salvation. The words right after the sentence are, "You are my friends." Jesus laid down his life for the ones he calls friends. And that's you, and that's me. And I find it so amazing and beyond my imagination and ability to really grasp that Jesus Christ calls me friend. He calls you friend. There's a caveat, though, to being called his friends, namely that we must do what he commands. And what are Jesus' commands? In verse 12 and 17, he makes it clear that his command is to love one another. So I went to the Greek because I happen to know that in Greek there are four different words for the one word we use in English, love. You can't see it too well, but the first one is eros, which is a romantic love, like being in love or loving someone. The second love is storge, the kind of love like a parent has for his or her child. The third love is philia, or a friend. Someone you have a strong bond with because you share common values, interests, or activities. And the final love is agape, unconditional God love. And this word is used for God's love for us, like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Or 1 Thessalonians 1:4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, agape, that he has chosen you. It is the love that exists regardless of changing circumstances. It is selfless love. And the word agape is a word for love used in this passage. So every time you see the word love in this passage, it is the word agape. And I was surprised because I thought that when Jesus said friends, like that he loved his friends, that he would use the word philia. But he doesn't. He uses the word agape, unconditional love for one another. And Jesus is saying, my new commandment to you is agape, love selflessly and unconditionally one another as I, agape, love selflessly and unconditionally you. We are to love each other in the way that he loves us. It says in somewhere in scripture, I forgot to look it up, that God loved us first so that we could love each other. And this is the kind of love that he models for us in his death and resurrection. Jesus died for us to call us friends. And his command to us is to love each other in the same way that he loves us. And I believe Jesus is calling us to a new kind of relationship, a new kind of friendship, a friendship that moves from being philia love to agape love. Jesus' death and resurrection transforms our understanding of friendship and the importance we put in it. You can't see it, but it says around the top of the cross, it says, love one another. We are being called by Jesus to an unconditional love for each other, a selfless love. The kind of friendship that is formed by the cross and founded on a common baptism and a common membership in the family of God. In his book, Spiritual Friendship, Wesley Hill refers to Maggie Gallagher, a Catholic writer and activist who explains it this way. She sees two kinds of love. You're mine because I love you, and I love you because you are mine. And at first I found that kind of confusing, but let's look at that. So the first one is, you're mine because I love you. And it's saying that we may be friends and share our lives deeply, but, and think of but in big, bold letters, you know, flashing neon sign, we remain friends only as long as I want you. I'm the one that decides if and when and for how long we are friends. Maybe I get bored or I'm hurt by you, or maybe there's some other reason. But I'm always free to walk away. I have no obligation, no commitment to you. This kind of friendship seems to me to be insecure and unstable, and it makes me very uneasy. One of my biggest fears is that without a biological family to care for me, who will help care for me if my MS gets worse? Or if I get old and feeble? Who is going to make sure I'm all right and treated well in a care home? Who is going to advocate for me when I can no longer advocate for myself? Maybe you have fears like this. Who will be there for me if you fill in the blank? If our friendships are the kind that are founded on the belief that you are mine because I love you, they are unstable and can change any time. There's a second kind of friendship. And the friendship is expressed as, I love you because you're mine. It is saying, I choose you. You are mine, and therefore I love you. I'm not free to walk away if I get bored or you hurt me. You are mine for always. And there's a deep commitment in one kind, in this kind of love. I've been fortunate to experience this kind of friendship in a number of ways, and I have permission to share this story. So when friends were looking for a house, a new home, you know, you have all these, how many bedrooms and bathrooms and the layout. But one of their conditions was a bathroom on the first floor, which makes sense. Their parents are getting old. But they also told me that they considered me. Because of my MS, sometimes it's hard for me to climb up the stairs. They weren't required to think of me. But as committed friends to each other, they thought of me when they bought the house and to have a bathroom on the first floor. And I can't tell you how incredible that was to me. And I have friends who have stepped up and become power of attorneys and medical advocates because I don't have a biological family. And that's created a safety and security around me. That's I love you because you're mine. Wesley Hill asks, what would it mean to see friendship, especially Christian friendship, the kind we want to strengthen and nurture in our churches, as more of the second kind of relationship than the first? What would it mean if we made promises to each other, precisely as friends? What would our churches look like? What would it look like if our friendships were not based on convenience, but on commitment? If sometimes we put aside our own needs and schedule to love the other, what if our friendships provided space to be deeply real and honest about our lives and our faith? What would our church look like? And I think the kind of friendship that we're talking about, the kind of friendship that Jesus is talking about, the kind of friendship that Wesley Hill is talking about, is something that goes deeper and beyond the way we normally think of friendships. A few more things before I wonder with you what this kind of friendship founded on this cross and described by agape love looks like. This type of Christian friendship is formed in Christian community. It's here that we find our brothers and sisters. This type of friendship also helps build community as we become a safe place to deeply care for each other. We then become a community into which we can invite others, our neighbors, the seekers, the lonely, the marginalized. But there is also a danger in this type of friendship that we need to be aware of. And that danger is that we can become cliquey, or where we form exclusive groups that don't welcome outsiders. We become so close that we might even give the impression, the vibe, that we really don't want to talk to people around us, instead of making room within our deep friendships to invite in others. This kind of friendship might resonate deeply in us, touching a deep longing in our hearts. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we, as the body of Christ at Nelson Avenue, move into deeper friendship relationship with each other? I didn't find a prescription or a set of steps or to-dos, but I do have some thoughts. First of all, we need to honestly admit our need for friendship. Here's another quote from Wesley Hill. We need to learn to describe what it looks like for, what it is we look for when we look for friendship. We have to talk about our particular need for it before we can hope to find that kind of friendship that will speak to that need. We need to be honest. We can begin small with the friends we already have, finding ways to strengthen and deepen our friendships. And we can do this by choosing to invite our friends to be a regular part of our lives, the in and out, the daily part of our lives. We can find creative ways to live life together rather than as separate units that happen to meet on Sunday to worship God together. Thirdly, we can talk to our friends about our friendship. We can, and I think, need to be honest with each other about what we need from the other person. We need to talk about the state or health of our friendship. Where can we do better? What do we need to change? We need to regularly check in with each other. Talk to each other when we are hurt or confused about the other's actions or words. This can be scary or even seem risky. However, the deep agape kind of love and friendship that Jesus calls us to needs to have these kind of conversations to grow deeply. We need to practice vulnerability and authenticity in order to remain committed to each other in our friendship. We need to find ways to celebrate our friendship. For example, did you know that July 30th is International Friendship Day? Amazing what you learn on the internet. How can we creatively celebrate our friends and the relationships we have with them? Set aside some time to party. And if not that day, then another day. Most importantly, remember that such a deep Christian friendship is rooted firmly in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can love each other because he first loved us. We can love each other because God adopted us as his children, and we are brothers and sisters in this family of God. The kingdom of God, this upside-down kingdom that Jesus ushered in, invites us to experience new relationships and renewed relationships in him. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your selfless, unconditional love for us. Thank you that you call us friends. Help us to understand what that means for us and for our lives. We acknowledge your command that as your friends, we are to love each other with the same selfless, unconditional love. And we confess, Jesus, that we fail time and time again to do so. We are not the friend to each other that you are to us. Forgive us. Empower us by the Holy Spirit that we may forgive each other when we fail and continue to work to be the kind of friend that you modeled for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.